The history of taxation is as old as civilization itself. I mean, originally designed as a means to generate capital, primarily through times of war. Now, in ancient times, rulers and governments, they would impose taxes to amass wealth, and it was to ensure that they had enough resources for military campaigns. Now, the concept of taxation has evolved significantly over the centuries. In Australia, where I live, like in many other countries, the tax system has transitioned from a wartime necessity to a fundamental tool for national development and social welfare. Now, before I get on with this episode, a reminder that I have a Patreon page where you can read articles, you can download spreadsheets, you can get internet resources, you can watch tutorial videos, and even chat with me if you have any questions or topics for podcast that I'm going to do. So it's free to join. So sign up today. The link is patreon.com/jellyman_investing. Also, a disclaimer that I'm not a financial advisor. Please consult with a professional before making any financial decisions. On the episode today, the Australian tax system plays a pivotal role in the country's development. It's structured to fund public services, infrastructure, healthcare, you know, building our roads, bridges, paying the police, paying firefighters, education, and much, much more. So why is it that some individuals pay more tax than others? So the answer lies in the progressive nature of the tax system itself. It's designed to be equitable rather than necessarily equal. So this means that individuals and, you know, some entities with higher incomes pay a proportionally larger amount in taxes, reflecting their greater capacity to contribute to society's needs. So why is it that a 9-to-5 job doesn't work for building wealth with all those things in mind? All right, so the tax system is not a linear system, meaning if I earned $50,000 and I'm on a 10% tax rate, that means I pay $5,000 in tax. Now, if I get a huge pay rise and I'm suddenly on $100,000, I don't pay the same percentage in tax. I'm not paying $10,000, you know, which is 10% of $100,000. It could be much more. It could be closer to $30,000. So it's more of a curve. So by this kind of simple math, if we want to become wealthy, that is, we want to be financially independent and free, a standard 9-to-5 job by itself just won't do it because of how the tax system works. So even doctors that earn several hundreds of thousands of dollars, they end up paying such a substantial amount of tax that regarding, you know, the amount of work and expertise and obviously the debt you incur trying to pursue that kind of career, it's very much disproportionate to how much you actually get back. So whether you're a doctor, a receptionist, a hairstylist, or a data scientist, programmer, engineer, whatever it is, right? When it comes to building long-lasting wealth and independence, it has very little, I'm not saying it has nothing to do with earning capacity, but it has much less to do with earning capacity and more to do with how you best make use of the money that you do make and how you use that over an extended period of time. That is the real key. It's one of the truths of financial wealth. So too many people fixate on not making enough. And you'll see this when you work in the industry, because people who are on, I see this all the time, I've worked in a number of industries now, some people are on $180,000 and complaining they don't make enough. Why does it feel like they're not making enough? They're always trying to push the envelope, trying to make more. I've met people who have made $250,000 and they say, oh, I need to make more, or they get upset when they don't get a promotion. It's like, why do you need to make more? If you think about it from an investing perspective, and we haven't done all that much in terms of numbers for the podcast, say you're on whatever salary you're on, say $100,000, $150,000, whatever, and they say, you're going to get a promotion, we're going to give you an extra $10,000. You don't see that whole thing because you're already on the highest tax bracket. So you'll maybe see like $2,000 of that. It's a very small amount. And then when you split that up by month, it's even less. However, if I invest over a significant period of time, the dividends I get from those investments, or maybe the growth in equity from property, are so much larger than any like kind of promotion or pay rise or bonus that you're really going to get in most jobs. Obviously, if you work in finance or some other industries where the bonuses are ridiculous, okay, we're not talking about those kind of edge cases. But generally speaking, you'll make so much more just learning how to invest or how to deal with real estate and so on. So the goal then shouldn't be about trying to earn as much as possible. It should be about determining what is enough. Right? What is the end goal? Okay, if my expenses are such, if I am on $100,000 $1,000, I will be able to pay all of that. I'll be able to save and I'll be able to invest. If you can do that, then the mental energy that you have, I think you should be spending on developing your financial education, not in trying to climb that corporate ladder, which is like a never ending kind of journey that if we're talking in terms of financial wealth, it just is not the road to get you there. So let's talk about the tax benefits and kind of the tax penalties, just some examples for you guys to think about. So the government learned a long, long time ago that if you want to move a country into a specific direction, they can tax certain activities that align with their agenda. And they can incentivize those activities so that people are attracted to doing those things. So when you're reading the tax code, you'll actually find that a substantial amount of the code, right, of the book, of the, all the laws, is about different ways you can reduce your tax and not so much about how to penalize people for tax. Because if you think about it, penalizing people for tax, it's not actually good long-term for a country. What you actually want people to do is you want enough of them working towards growing the country, generating jobs, investing in energy, investing in all the good things, developing housing for other people. You know, those are the things that they want people to do because that grows the country. It builds the economy. It attracts people to come to the country, all these things, right? So for I've only got four examples here, but there are way more. Superannuation contribution. So the government love it when you take care of your own retirement, because if you reach old age and you become a burden to the government, they don't like that. And so they're going to incentivize people to put more money into their retirement fund, more money into their superannuation. So there's actually an upper limit. I don't actually know what it is off my head, but there's an upper limit of how much you can put as additional, and that is tax-free contributions. So when you make that, your taxable income goes down so that the actual tax you pay at the end is less than you would have if you didn't make additional contributions. The other is you can invest in things that are potentially related to education and research. So if you're working a job or I'm trying to remember the scenario. So if you're looking into reading about finance and investing so that you can invest or so that you can create a business or something like that, that could potentially be tax deductible because you're doing something that is crucial for the country's growth, right? So if you're creating a new product that's going to help a lot of people, then that could potentially be tax deductible. Another one is charitable donations. So obviously, people are living all across the spectrum of, you know, some people are really well off and then there's people at the very bottom and they need help. So when you make donations to help those people, that's something that the government really, really like doing, like to see. So they will make those tax deductible. So you're not paying tax on those things. And the last one is investing in renewable energy. So, I mean, there's going to be tax incentives for investing in these projects because they align with the government's commitment to environmental sustainability. So these are just four examples. There's freaking heaps of them, all right? Then you got the other side, which is tax penalties. So there are certain things that government don't want you to do, but they're not going to say it's illegal. They're just going to penalize it. So for example, luxury car tax. So if you've ever had a super expensive car, there is extra tax on that because it's kind of luxury living, and the government don't really like excessive spending. They'd rather you put that towards something a bit more responsible. Then you got capital gains tax. So for example, short-term capital gains are discouraged because, like, for example, I know with if you invest in stocks, but only for a short period of time and then you sell it, you get taxed at a different rate compared to if you hold it for, I think it's longer than 12 months, it becomes a lower tax that you pay on that. And that's just because the government want people to be thinking long term. Okay. Then you have something called, and I didn't know this was what it was called, sin taxes, right? So there are higher taxes on products like tobacco and alcohol, right? Because the government don't want you going crazy on these things because then you have a lot more health issues and that costs money to the government to take care of you as you age. And then the very last one, which we've already talked about, is the progressive income tax. So as your income gets higher and higher and higher, the government want to take away from people on the higher end and give that to the people on the lower end so there's a lot more equality. One of the things that's probably going to be screaming out of your head is that why is it the ultra rich don't pay as much tax? Well, the reason is because most of them are buying property, they're buying real estate, they're investing in businesses, they own businesses. Especially if you own a business, there are massive tax deductions. If you had real estate investment properties, there's, you know, depreciation, write-offs. There's a whole bunch of stuff. But these are all things that you want to work towards so that in the eyes of the government, you're aligning with their policy to grow the economy. All right, so just some final thoughts. So earning more but not aligning with government policy, it's like swimming upstream because you're working so hard. You know, we work so hard in our jobs that climbing that corporate ladder, you know, it brings us wealth, of course. Well, I won't say wealth. It brings us more money, but it also brings us more stress, time away from our family, and then you get more, and then you get taxed more on top of all of that. So what we actually want to aim for is we want to be able to build more wealth with less stress and more time with our family. That's sort of like the golden triangle. So the only way to combat this is you need to start investing. You need to start thinking about real estate, investment properties, possibly starting a business, even just a small side gig, investing in the right things, investing in index funds, taking care of your own retirement. These are all the things that the government love to see.